Hello, welcome to the FBS podcast series. This is podcast number 44. We're going to talk about retaining records in federal contracting. My name is Todd Hatherly, and I'm the Director of Programming for Federal Publication Seminars. We're a leader in federal government contract training and professional development for the past 60 years. And every year, we train thousands of businesses, federal agencies, and individuals on the legal, regulatory, compliance, and accounting nuances found in the federal regulations through nationwide classroom, online, and in-house sessions. These podcasts are really just a small sampling of important content you as a contracting professional can expect from attending an FBS program. Whether you're in person or online, live or on demand, you can't find another source with the breadth and depth of experience, knowledge, and content anywhere. So please visit us at fedpubseminars.com for more information. And joining me today is Michael LaCourte. He's with HKA. How are you today, Mike?
I'm good. Thanks for asking.
Excellent. We're going to talk records retention, but first let me ask you a little bit about what you do and what HKA is about.
Sure. So I'm Mike LaCourte. I'm a partner with HKA Global. We're an international consulting firm, and we service a variety of different sectors, construction, commercial damages in a variety of sectors, and healthcare. I work in the government contracting section of HKA. And I work with companies either in the compliance side, things like incurred cost emissions, developing forward pricing rates, helping them with implementing business systems, and also with their counsel, matters that involve litigation or may involve litigation, claims, disputes, investigations, from the government or, prime to a sub, et cetera. We're about my location's in D.C., Washington, D.C., and that's primarily where our practice is located. But we have, a national footprint. And, as I said before, also an international presence. Our government contracts group, though, is, primarily United States based.
Thank you for being on here with us. I know some of your HKA colleagues teach for us at FedPubs, and they bring a wealth of knowledge. Let's start talking about retaining records in federal contracting. What are we talking about here? What's governing the records retention?
Sure. So federal contractors are subject to record retention provisions stipulated in FAR 4.7. And FAR 4.7 will outline the requirements to maintain certain records for specific periods of time. The way FAR 4.7 is laid out, it will describe the retention requirements. But first, let me take a step back before even getting into the retention requirements. It will describe the types of contracts that the record retention provisions will apply to. And those are sealed bid contracts and then contract by negotiation. The bulk of my experience with record retention issues relates to contract by negotiation. But, keep in mind, there is that sealed bid provision as well. The way FAR 4.7 is kind of laid out is, it speaks to general record retention requirements. The general rule is that records be kept for 3 years after final payment. That final payment term is important, especially when considering, if you're working on, say, on a cost reimbursement contract where your final payment may not occur till many years after you finalize rates, the government. So just because physical performance is complete, that may or may not actually mean anything. It's really, when does that final payment occur, which may be linked to events other than physical completion of performance. FAR 4.7 then kind of gets into kind of more specifics about different retention periods. I'd say looking at FAR 4705-1, there are provisions about materials and work orders, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I'm not going to kind of read through the regulations here, but there are specific provisions related to different types of documents that, for anyone that's really in government contracting or has a specific concern about records retention, you can look at FAR 4.7 to see if that speaks to the types of records. As I said, there's kind of a general provision and then there's more specifics. In a way, I kind of think of it, it's almost laid out like FAR Part 31, where in terms of cost allowability, there's general provisions for allowability, and then there's allowability provisions for specific elements of cost. It kind of is metaphorically, this is kind of laid out the same way. There's a general kind of set of provisions, then more specificity. Another thing I'd say is very important to keep in mind with records retention is there's always the potential that a contract provision may change record retention requirements. And I don't think I've ever seen a provision that shortens the retention requirements. I'm not even sure that's permissible. In my experience, I've seen contract provisions that actually extend the records retention periods. The takeaway there is, even though FAR 4.7 governs, what's in your contract is just as critical, if not more so, to understand the types of record retention requirements that, a particular contract is subject to. And these are borne through contract requirements. So the provisions themselves may not be for the contractor. May not have said another way, let me take a step back. A particular contractor may not have a uniform set of records retention provisions that are applicable to it. It could potentially be different, for different types of contracts, depending on, specifics in the contracts, et cetera.
How is this different than in the federal government contract world versus the commercial business world of if you're an SEC, you're governed by the SEC and you're a publicly traded company? Is there any difference?
There can be. And and then that raises a good point, Todd. So, I think something I've run across multiple times in my career working with contractors is I think a tendency for reversion to FAR 4.7 when it comes to records retention, kind of putting blinders on to some other regulatory bodies that may have their own records retention rules. And, specifically the Internal Revenue Service and the Securities and Exchange Commission, those regulatory bodies have their own provisions, or kind of, let's say specifically with the IRS, have provisions about how long they can audit you. And if you don't have the records to support what you submit, in effect, that's a problem there. So even if they don't have a specific requirement related to a specific record, the fact that you can be audited for X number of years after you submit a tax return, at least in my mind, creates a de facto requirement to keep the records. Otherwise, you put yourself kind of at risk. And what I advise companies is get an understanding of the total universe of records retention requirements that are applicable to you. The IRS, every company is going to submit a tax return. The SEC, not every company is publicly traded, but if the SEC rules are applicable to you as a company, understand what those are. And then there are other, requirements that could be imposed not through regulatory bodies. So if you have particular covenants, loans and things with banks, other types of agreements, private agreements, it is possible there are record retention requirements that are borne about through those as well. So getting a good understanding kind of the universe of record retention requirements, with the FAR, FAR 4.7 being a component of that universe, to develop, what a records retention policy would look like at a particular company, I think makes the most sense, as opposed to putting on blinders and developing a policy that really just speaks to FAR 4.7 requirements.
So let's see, if you're dealing with SEC or IRS, usually they're just pretty much blanket 7 years or 5 years or whatever it might be for everything that you have for records. When you're talking federal government contracting, if I understand you right, it can be contract specific, correct?
Correct. There can be terms in the contract that say you must keep your records for X period of years. And then even if you look just generally in FAR 4.7, the general requirement is to keep your records for 3 years after final payment. But there are provisions for certain records, like accounts receivable invoices, as an example, that you retain for 4 years. Your labor cost distribution cards or those equivalent documents, those have a 2-year period. There's variations in the record retention requirements, even in 4.7. And then, as you kind of alluded to, the contract or a particular contract might have its own set of record retention requirements, which may be different than anything that's in FAR 4.7.
Right. Give me some examples of the good, bad, and ugly of when you're when you have a records retention policy that may go bad, or the government that's maybe investigating, trying to get those records for some whatever reason.
Yeah, sure. So things I've seen where there's inadequate records or missing records really kind of creates a scenario where contractors in receive mode, let's say, they're not able to affirmatively support positions as well.
Right.
There's a saying I've heard, and I think it might have emanated from the Defense Contract Audit Agency. I'm not exactly sure where in government contracting this came from, but if it's saying is it's not documented. It didn't happen. And if you as a contractor don't have the records to support your position, it really does put you at risk of having to be in receive mode for whatever the government asserts the position should be. It kind of weakens your ability to rebut effectively. Weakens your ability to negotiate with the government. It could go as far as you're not complying with some term or provision of your contract. You know, I've seen things like that as well, where, you know, you have a requirement born through your contract to retain your records. You don't, some situation arises where you need those records, you can't produce them. You know, again, that it kind of weakens you as a contractor when you're in a position to either rebut something from the government, or, you know, you're negotiating something with the government.
Mike, quick question. It just came to me. If you closed out a contract, so the government says, oh, we're done. You've satisfied the contract deliverables. We're closing it out. They close it out. Can they come back and look at those records?
I think that's a pretty complicated question because, I mean, my understanding – yeah, I mean, I'll just kind of give you my experience where, you know, whether the government does or does not have a right to do these things, right. I think is kind of more of a legal question. But I've definitely seen circumstances where the government has tried to do those things. I was involved in a matter where there was a contract that was closed and there was an alleged cost accounting standard violation. And the government tried to sweep in the contract that was closed into the universe of contracts that had to be analyzed for purposes of assessing the magnitude of the impact of the noncompliance there. So, you know, I think fraud is another kind of opener potentially, or at least, right. You know, I've seen the government take that position where, you know, things like cash noncompliance fraud may give them the ability to kind of open up records related to closed contracts. And I guess just one more point on your question there, one more kind of response there. If the contract is administratively closed, but you're still within the 3 years within final payment, you know, just to link it to the general rule in FAR 4.7, I think the government may have pretty good grounds to kind of go after those records. What's questionable to me is really when you've exceeded that the time periods, either in your contract or in the FAR, you know, after final payment, does the government still have a right to go after those records right. when the contract's closed?
Mike, just to close out the program, give us some takeaways for our listeners on records retention and best practices, if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, one takeaway is, again, just be aware of the FAR provisions. It's really in 4.7 related to records retention, and become familiar with the time periods that are stipulated there for, you know, records retention purposes. And also, you know, evaluate your contracts to see if they have provisions that differ from FAR 4.7. You know, second, just a piece from, or just a little bit of my experience, you know, be aware of circumstances that may give rise to issues with your records. So mergers and acquisitions, you know, I've seen oftentimes lost records when a company's acquired, moving facilities, moving offices. You know, those are events that, in my experience, have given rise to, you know, the loss of records, which can cause problems with the record retention provisions. And then, you know, third, you know, again, I would advise, you know, for companies, get a handle on the totality of your records retention requirements. It's not just a FAR issue. You know, depending on the company and the nature of their agreements and other regulatory bodies that may have oversight over them, such as the IRS or the SEC, there may be other records retention provisions that are relevant to the company. And FAR 4.7 is just a component, or in those circumstances, FAR 4.7 would just be a component of an overall suite of records retention provisions.
Thank you for that, Mike. If any of our listeners want to get a hold of you, how would they do so at HK?
Sure. So if anybody wants to reach me for questions about this or really anything else, you can reach me via my email. It's my first name, Mike, M-I-K-E, last name, LaCourte, L-A-C-O-R-T-E. So Mike LaCourte at HKA.com. Or you can give me a call on my cell. My cell is 703-300-4731.
Thank you, Mike, and appreciate you taking the time out of your day to talk about records retention. As always, if you have topics you want us to cover in a podcast, please send me a note at todd@fedpubseminars.com. And until next time, stay safe, keep your distance, and read the FAR.